Hello, Grave Talks family. It's Tony Bruschi. If you love the Grave Talks, you'll probably love our other podcast if you're already not a subscriber of it, Real Ghost Stories Online. The following is a 15-minute preview of this week's Extra Podcast Person, or EPP, bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I hope you enjoy. Feelings have a lot to do with hauntings, or should I say emotions have a lot to do with hauntings. If you think about it, there's many, many cases where a negative event occurred. Could be something from abuse to murder to you name it, something negative that seems to impact the environment. It impacts the environment because of the emotions of the living who experienced it. It's almost like when you squash a tomato or accidentally step on a grape, all the stuff that goes flying everywhere. That's like how our emotions are when something happens. All that energy is expounded out, and wherever it lands in the space where it happens. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear multiple stories about feelings. What is that feeling that some people get just before a loved one passes? And how do some experience it while others don't? One woman can feel all the emotions of the spirits who haunt her. Happiness, sadness, jealousy, rage, everything. Does it turn out to be a good thing to have, a good skill to have? And what do you do when the entity that is haunting you gives off such a dark, vicious vibe of utter hate? You can't stand to be in the same building with it. How do you handle that when it's where you live? We're going to talk about all that in today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episode number 311. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Signs. Sometimes they're extremely evident, like a stop sign says stop. You all know the universal shape. Sometimes they're not as evident as that. Sometimes it's just a very distinct feeling in a part of our body. Muscle spasm. Bone suddenly feels numb. Something just is off. Is that a sign, or is that just our bodies being our bodies? What happens when our bodies being our bodies seem to be working in some sort of a pattern or some sort of a way that's trying to warn us about the lives of others? Like the message is getting through much faster than a voice could over the phone when someone is about to pass. That's what happens in our next story. Several times over, sometimes in surprising and sometimes in not so surprising ways. Take a listen. Hi, my name is Antoinette. I don't really know how to start this off. I've always told my stories in separate stories, even though a lot of people never believe me. Psychics do run in my family. I am also an identical twin, in which I heard twins are very intuitive. And I almost died when I was a baby because I was born without a thyroid. I've always heard that people who have almost or have died and come back to life become very intuitive because they have one foot always on the other side. So I guess when it comes to the odds of being psychic intuitive, the odds are against me. So I always remember my mom would practice my skills with me. We were being little. She'd tell me to close my eyes and clear my head. She wanted to see if I could read her mind. I did not know that is what we were doing. Anyways, she would say, close your eyes and tell me what you see. Remember one time I said, I see a triangle and Indians living inside it. Turns out my mom was thinking of a teepee. I was incredibly young, probably 3 to 5 years old. I do not know what she saw or what I said when I was little, which made her start wanting to do these exercises with me. One time, I was maybe 7 years old. We were living at my Nana and Papa's house, and our mom was there too. She was a single mom for the first 10 years of my life. Anyways, my sister and I slept in the office, which had a day bed. So my bed was the one that pulled out from underneath the bed. I was facing the door. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I kid you not, I saw a Native American man start walking slowly in front of my door. Seeing his profile, he stops in the middle of the doorway, and he starts to turn his head towards me. I got so scared, I shut my eyes really tight. I slightly opened them a few seconds later, but only to the point where it would look like my eyes were still shut. And I saw him turn his head back towards and continue walking down the hallway into what would have been our living room. I think that scared me to the point it shut that door for a while. Fast forward to when I was 15 and we moved into a new house, coming in from my garage where there's a long hallway that goes to the family room. And I see a tall, dark figure, amazingly fast, run across the doorframe. I just remember it's very tall, skinny, with exceptionally long legs and arms. Was I just like, what the fuck? Then that was it until I was 18. I was sleeping in the family room. I woke up at about 5 a.m. because my mom was leaving for the airport. My parents leave, and 5 minutes later, I hear a little kid and little kid feet run across our pergo floor. My ex was with me at the time, and I said to him, "Did you just hear that?" He said, "Yes." Then all of a sudden, we heard it again. Did not see or hear anything for a while. Then one night, I was 24 years old. I was doing laundry. My room was upstairs, and my sisters were downstairs right next to the garage door. I come downstairs, then must go down 3 more steps to get to the hallway where the garage is in my sister's bedroom. I get to the top of those 3 steps and get the most uneasy feeling. I literally jump the 3 steps and run into the garage and close the door. I switch out my laundry. Then before I opened the garage door, I sat there and stared at it. I was too scared to go back into the house. I literally had to count to 3, swung the door open, slammed it shut behind me, and booked it up the stairs. My sister called me 2 minutes later asking if that was me, and I said yes. She asked me if I felt something weird in that hallway. I said yes. She then said to me she went out to get ice cream. She was about 7 months pregnant with my niece at the time. She said when she came back, top of those 3 steps, she felt the same thing, where she literally had to jump from the stairs into her bedroom. The house has always felt a little uneasy here, but nothing like that. I could not physically see him, but in my mind, I envision him to look like a funny demon thing with its tongue out. Fast forward a year, my Nana was diagnosed with lymphoma cancer. She had it come a couple of years prior and survived it. It came back. The chemo was making her too sick, and she felt she lived a long enough life and she was done fighting. They gave her about 6 months. So 3 months go by, and she was messed up on morphine. She was fine 2 days before to be completely incoherent. I remember just sitting next to her. Growing up, we would always squeeze one another's hands 3 times to say, "I love you." Squeeze back 4 times for "I love you too." So I'm sitting with her crying, holding her hand, just talking to her, thanking her for saving my life. I was supposed to be severely mentally disabled. Wasn't supposed to talk. I'd be in a wheelchair my whole life due to the fact that the oxygen was cut from my brain since they did not catch me on not having a thyroid. They tested my sisters, but not me. Now, legally, because of us, you must check both twins. My Nana told the doctor that will not happen to any grandchild of hers, and she'd prove that the doctor was wrong. She worked with me every day. She was the one who realized I was sick. The doctors told my mom and Nana if they were to wait 24 hours longer, I would have been dead. She proved them wrong. Anyway, I'm sitting there holding her hand, saying I love you and thanking her. And I told her, "Nana, if you just come to and tell me that you love me too, I'll be okay if you pass. I just want to hear it one more time." Which seemed like maybe would not happen. 30 seconds later, she squeezed my hand 3 times while saying from her lips, "I love you." And I just started bawling my eyes out. I left my Nana's house and I go to my house. We go to my friend's house to just release some stress. I'm in my mirror doing makeup. My left shoulder blade goes numb, and I'm like, "What the F is this?" I keep moving my shoulder around to see if it was a pinched nerve, but it wasn't. Feels like someone was touching you, like your foot was falling asleep. Simply weird. Never felt anything like it before. I go to this friend's house. I get a call from my sister saying my Nana had taken a turn for the worst and that she had fallen. The thing is, my family is known for being overly dramatic, so I call another family member, so I ask if it was true, and they said yes. I had a couple of beers, so I did not want to drive, but I did, in which I should not have, but I made it to my Nana safely. I walked down the hallway into the bedroom. They were just getting her up off the floor. It had been 30 minutes since they had told me she had fallen. They got her into the couch. We all get around her. My aunt says to her, "Mom, everyone is here now. TT, that's me, is here now too. It's okay to go now." I'm like, "You guys are so overdramatic." Right then and there, she took her last breath. And when someone is about to pass or has just passed, my shoulder, my left shoulder, the shoulder blade always goes numb. I always thought it was my Nana, since it started happening that night that she died. Sometimes the feeling is stronger than others. One time I felt it, and my mom's best friend called me about 5 minutes after I started feeling it happen. She called me looking for my mom. I asked her if she was okay, and she told me her father died. Her father was friends with my grandparents. One very prominent time, I was over at my grandparents' and my papa was still living. He had changed a lot after my Nana died. He became very unpleasant to be around. I grew up a papa's girl. I was named after him. His name was Anthony. Everyone called him Tony. I'm Antoinette, and my nickname is TT, which stands for Tony Teresa. Anyways, I was over at his house cutting my cousin's hair. My aunt told me he was asleep, that he was not in a good mood, so don't go down and see him. I was like, okay. So I started leaving. The feeling on my shoulder blade was the heaviest it had ever been. Like something pulling me back, telling me to go down to my papa's room and see him. Sadly, I did not. After I left, the feeling would come and go so strong. A few days later, it was super strong. And I remember asking myself, what the fuck is going on? What are you trying to tell me? I got a phone call from my mom. My papa had a stroke and he was in the hospital. I ran out of my work, bawling my eyes out, shaking. Anyone who knew me knows how much my papa and I meant to each other. We were best friends. His dad came from Spain, and one of the things he came with was a St. Teresa statue. My papa's dad passed a car accident when he was 8, and all he has was this statue. I think a rosary. Well, my papa gave me the statue. I stayed with him in the hospital. Priest came in and said a prayer, and his body started convulsing. Never understood why. It was weird. It shows how strong prayers are. They pulled the plug. And that's where we're going to have to pause the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 311 of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show and you want to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them. You'll get access to all 311 bonus episodes exclusively for EPPs in their entirety. You get our ebook, you get our audiobook, you get so much more, and you get to find out about the rest of this story and our other two on this episode, where one woman can feel all of the emotions of the spirits who haunt her. Does it turn out to be a good thing or a bad thing, though? Also, what do you do when the entity haunting you is so dark and vicious you can't stand to be in the same damn building with it? Really good stories. If you want to hear the full thing, sign up to be an extra podcast person, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Thank you.